God's word for you, 1 Chronicles 21, 26 and 27. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offering. Then the Lord commanded the angel who put his sword back into its sheath. This passage sketches an excellent picture of what worship was like in David's life, but it doesn't seem very much like some other things. First, the worship that God commanded Moses to do. Second, the worship that was actually done at the temple. Third, the worship that was done after the temple was destroyed. Fourth, the worship that was going on after the temple was rebuilt and then in the time of Jesus. Or fifth, worship that we enjoy today. We will ponder this both here and in the next passage, that tomorrow's verses, but for now let's just see what David's worship as it was, not so much what it was not. Like the ancient patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David built a new altar of piled stones on top of the mountain, north of the city walls and uphill from the city limits. He made two kinds of offerings there, burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. A burnt offering is not the same as a sin or guilt offering. A burnt offering could be purely an act of devotion to God. And by consuming the entire bull in flames, the worshipper said, "I devote my whole life to God, and I keep nothing back for myself." Later on, God said that he wasn't pleased with such offerings. People were doing it for show or for other reasons that were equally wrong. So burnt offerings you did not desire, and you were not pleased with them, but he, Christ, said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." That's Hebrews 10, verses 9 and 10. But David made his burnt offering in good faith, and with good reason. He showed, with his actions, what was there in his heart. He wanted to follow God and do his whole will. He also made fellowship offerings, and this could be made to end a vow, or simply as a sign of thanks. Certainly David meant this offering as a thank you to God for ending the terrible destructive plague. A fellowship offering was also shared. After a portion was burned, usually the fat, the rest was shared as a meal between the worshiper and the priest who officiated. It would not be a surprise to us if Gad were the priest in David's case, although prophets were not always priests or Levites, as we see in Amos 1:1 and again in Amos 7:14. What did these sacrifices do in the hearts and the minds of the worshipers? Then, as now, some of them may have gone through the motions out of habit, simply because they found beauty, or solace, or joy in the simple repetition of a ritual that had been familiar since childhood. But doubtless there were many who asked, "What does this mean?" One of our esteemed seminary professors comments, "While sacrifice dominated the worship of tabernacle and temple, the symbolism of much of the sacrificial symbolism proclaimed the divine plan of reconciliation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." That's Hebrews 9:22. To those who would ponder it, the message of public worship pointed to the finale of God's promise to send a conqueror, his own lamb, who would take away the sin of the world. This was the ritual the Lord established for the nation by law, to acclaim and proclaim. In their acclamation, Israel proclaimed the name of the Lord. That's an article by Professor James Tiefel in our Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly back in spring of 2020. A remarkable and unusual event here is that the Lord answered David immediately with the fire from heaven. This was a rare occasion, something that the Lord seems to have reserved for a public offering such as this one. And then remember also the response to Elijah's prayer on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18:38. But the Lord seems to have done something like this for Abel's offering, too, when he accepted Abel's but rejected Cain's offering in Genesis 4, verses 4 and 5. The fire of heaven devoured David's offering, and rather devouring David's offering showed that the Lord, without any doubt, accepted David's repentance and worship. And this also brought about the final result. The Lord commanded the angel, who returned the killing sword to its sheath. That act, no matter how many people were present to witness it or how few, showed David that the destroying plague was over. The king and his people were once again at peace with God. A final point here. David called on the Lord. This is different from the familiar called on the name of the Lord that we see in Genesis 12:8 and Psalm 99:6 and other places. To call on God's name in the Old Testament is a way of describing preaching. Men called on the name of the Lord as they were proclaiming him and teaching people about him. Here, David seems to be simply praying, calling on the Lord, as we see in 1 Corinthians 1:2, which is an act of worship rather than an act of proclaiming or preaching. David prayed, and the Lord answered right away. David asked for forgiveness, and the Lord forgave. And he teaches us that by his divine example, what it means to forgive sins, even as we ourselves have been forgiven. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.